Bibles now this morning. We're going to get started to the book of Philemon, of course. We've spent several weeks here kind of in the introduction and then started going verse by verse a few weeks ago as well. And we worked our way all the way down to verse 2. How's that? Verse 2. Let's just start at verse 1. He says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, and to Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you once again that we can spend some time looking into your word this morning, especially studying through this little book here of Philemon, seeing the inner workings of the doctrines of your grace functioning in Paul and in Onesimus, and then, of course, in Philemon and the folks at his house there. We ask that as we continue this series and this study here, that we would allow the same things to happen in our heart, in our life, so that the doctrines of grace that we study, that we read, that we talk about, that we associate together with, that we fellowship around, that we would indeed adorn ourselves with those doctrines. And we'll thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen. Last time we spent the whole session really looking a little bit about Philemon's family, and in particular his wife, and in greater detail, Archippus, his son, and what Paul says, fellow soldier. If you didn't get a chance to listen to that message, definitely I would encourage you to go back and do that. We're going to press on now. Here at verse 3, he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Oftentimes when you read different commentaries or listen to different speakers that teach the beginnings of various Paul's epistles, they'll make reference to that, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And they'll convey the idea that that's kind of Paul's salutation, kind of his hello, how are you kind of a thing. Sure, it's how he starts almost all of his epistles. Somewhere within the first, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 verses in all of his epistles, you'll see he conveys that truth. You and I understand, however, that that's not simply a hello, how are you kind of a thing. It's not simply a, hey, I can't figure out how else to start the letter, so I'll start it this way. Paul is conveying there the whole essence of his ministry. It's grace to you. Now I'm going to skip just the peace part. Grace to you from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. That's the official proclamation of enduring the dispensation of the grace of God from heaven to earth. And the result is peace. See, grace to you and peace. And that peace is from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So heaven is saying to earth today, heaven is saying to the world today, that is, God is saying to the world today, this is the dispensation of his grace, that God is not imputing men's trespasses unto them. He has imputed them to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that this is a period of the holding back of his wrath. This is the time of his long suffering. Therefore, he is not pouring out his wrath, but instead he is pouring out to the world today an offer of grace. And if you depend upon that grace, if you come to understand what the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ is about, and then you trust his shed blood, the result is peace. Grace to you and peace. Think of Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This dispensation of the grace of God is not simply the dispensation of the holding back of his wrath, his long suffering, and the dispensing of his grace, but in fact, therefore, it also demonstrates this is a dispensation of peace. That is, he is not pouring out his just anger on the world today. He is not pouring out his just wrath on the world today. For those of you who have been following along with us and reading through the zone, and those of you who have read your Old Testament, you know, on the number of occasions and so forth, you know that there are several times in the Old Testament where God sends a message out to the Gentiles. And how often does he send a message about war? He says, prepare war, that type of thing. And aren't we glad that that's not the message to the world today? He is not telling the Gentiles to prepare war. Look over to the book of Joel 3. Look over to the book of Joel, chapter number 3 here. Joel, chapter number 3. Joel, chapter number 3. And watch this verse here. And it's going to be verse 9. He says this, Joel 3 and verse 9. He says, proclaim this among the Gentiles. Look at what he says there. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come down. Beat your plowshares into swords. And your pruning hooks into spears. That's exactly the opposite of disarmament. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come get you down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Zion. That, you know what? Aren't you glad that these verses aren't coming to pass right now? Think about that. This is a message that God sends out to the Gentiles. And it's a proclamation that he tells them to prepare for battle, prepare for war. This is the time when he will no longer be long-suffering, when he will no longer be holding his peace, when he no longer will be staying his hand. This is a time when the call goes out, when the decree goes out for the nations to gather together to the battle of that great day. In the valley of Jehoshaphat, the way he describes it in verse 14, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. This battle here is going to be the great decisive battle of all human history, the tactical battle. Of course, the big battle, the main battle that really impacts the rest of history was, of course, the battle at the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ taking on the adversary there. Actually, that was the great tactical battle. This is a strategic battle. This is the working out of that. This is the final call of the Gentile nations to come together in the Valley of Decision. This is going to be the decisive battle. And you can see once again that this is a proclamation for the nations to gather together to war. Aren't you glad? Think about it. Right now, heaven is not intervening that way. The message from heaven to earth today is not prepare war. The message from heaven to earth today is not gather, wake up your mighty men to the battle. That's not the message from heaven to earth today. Rather, it is a message of grace and peace. The holding back of God's wrath. You know, go back with me, if you would, to look back at verse 12. We're still in Joel 3. Let the heathen be wakened, come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge the heathen round about, put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come and get you down, for the press is full, the fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. I want you to write down next to that verse, Genesis 15, verse 16. We're going to compare something. We're going to go way back in history. Genesis chapter number 15. Genesis chapter number 15, this is when Abraham is told that his descendants are going to go down into a land that is not their own, and they're going to be held captive by the Gentiles, and is described as a horror of great darkness. The satanic captivity of Israel is described as a horror of great darkness. The darkness program, the lie program, holding God's nation captive. But notice what he says. I'm going to go to verse 12. And when the sun was gone down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. See, that's the horror of darkness. They're going to be bound in the satanic darkness and the lie. And also that nation whom they shall serve, will I judge afterwards, shall they come out with the great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. Now watch verse 16. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. See that concept there, that something's not full, in particular the iniquity's not full? Even back then, God was waiting. God was delaying. He was giving the adversaries, he was giving the Amorites and the various nations an opportunity to turn to him, if we could say it that way. The iniquity is not yet full. By the time you come back over here to the book of Joel, and he tells the nations to prepare war, you can see it once again, Joel 3, verse 13. Joel 3, verse 13, he tells them, put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come down, for the press is full. This point in history, when this passage comes to pass, the iniquity, not just of the Amorites, but of the Gentiles as a whole, is indeed full. And hence it is time for the just wrath of Almighty God to be poured out. If you'll turn over with me to the book of Obadiah, you guys know what that book is. Go to the book of Obadiah here, okay? You'll go Hosea, Joel, Amos, and then it's Obadiah. Look at this one, Obadiah chapter number 1. Obadiah is a prophet raised up specifically to preach concerning Edom, the Edomites. And they are the descendants of Esau. Esau is Edom, the Edomites, and the territory in which they dwelt was Mount Seir. He says this, the vision of Obadiah, and of course there's just one chapter, right? Look at Obadiah, the first verse. The vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her to battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Thou hast dwelt in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Now, this is specifically against Edom and the Edomites. You can see the pride of their father, the devil, functioning in them. But what I want you to see is this idea of an ambassador is sent to this Gentile nation. And this ambassador is sent to tell them to arise to battle. That there's this ambassador is sent to declare war upon the Edomites here. Listen, one day out there in the future, at the end of that tribulation period, God, all these verses are going to come to pass where God is going to declare war among the Gentiles. He's going to send the ambassador out. He's going to send his host of angels out. And he's going to gather together the Gentile nations to battle, to war. But that's not what's happening today. In every one of Paul's epistles, he begins his epistles by saying, grace and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. For example, if you look, you know this, you've seen this before. Look with me, if you would, Romans chapter number 1, verse 7. Romans chapter number 1, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you stop and think about this, it's kind of interesting to think about it. Had the dispensation of grace not been brought in, then Rome would have been that next great empire. Well, Rome was the empire that was in power at the time. And Rome was just going to be crushed initially by the Antichrist, and the Antichrist from Babylon to Assyria to Jerusalem would have been crushed. But I'm saying Rome would have experienced absolute being crushed instead of grace and peace. Isn't that amazing to think about that? You go to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, 3, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Where was Corinth? Corinth was over down in Achaia, right? So you can see the same type verses in 2 Corinthians. How about the book of Galatians? Galatians was in Turkey, that modern-day Turkey area, right? Galatians 1:3, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. You go to the book of Ephesians, and of course that was actually, it would be more specific to say that that's probably modern day Turkey. Galatia was a little bit more west and central than that. Anyway, in the book of Ephesians, grace to you and peace from God our Father. And then how about the book of Philippians? Philippians was up in Macedonia there. Verse 2, Philippians 1:2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father. And same with the book of Colossians. Colossians, once again, down in modern-day Turkey, grace to you and peace. Thessalonians, they were over in Macedonia. What I'm saying is this. Those were all Gentile territories. Those were all territories that, according to prophecy, would have been invited, called together to battle, according to the prophecy that we read in Joel. It's going to gather together the Gentile nations for battle, declare war upon them. But instead, what now is happening, because of the nature of the dispensation of grace, God is withholding the wrath on purpose. He has postponed the tribulation period. He is demonstrating his capacity to be long-suffering, to suffer for a long time with man's rebellion and their pride and their self-righteousness and their hard-hearted attitude towards God. You know, when Paul says grace to you and peace, that's what's happening today. That's the essence of the ministry of the Apostle Paul, what Christ gave to him, that it's a declaration of grace to the world. It's an offer of grace to the world. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. But not everyone responds, do they? And those who do respond, what a wonderful thing to have the result of peace. But understand this, that declaration, grace and peace, that's the message from heaven to earth today. God, in the dispensation of grace, he's not sending the tsunamis and earthquakes and the volcanoes. He's not the one that's sending the plagues and famines. He's not doing that. That's not what's happening today. All of that is the natural, continuous breaking down of this present earth under the bondage of corruption. If you go over to Romans chapter 8 there, you know the passage. Romans chapter number 8 there. Look at how the Apostle Paul describes the present day situation of this world in which we live, and in particular the creation. He says at verse 18, he says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now he talks about the sufferings of this present time. This present time. Well, that doesn't that imply it's not always going to be like it is now? He says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. See, things are going to change. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered. Shall be delivered. Well, then it means it hasn't been delivered yet. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. Those world catastrophes that happen, the tsunamis, the earthquakes, the volcanoes, the hurricanes, the typhoons, that are just the amount of destruction that they are capable of reaping upon the earth. That isn't God sending those things. That's not God doing those things in the dispensation of grace. He is not imputing man's trespasses unto them today. What all that is, that's just the continuous breaking down and the continuous decaying process of this present creation, and therefore the earth, under the bondage of corruption. That's what that is. It's not always going to be like that. This earth and the whole creation is going to be delivered from the bondage of corruption one day into the glorious liberty of the children of God. But it has not been delivered yet. From heaven to earth, the message is grace and peace. And understanding that, it's what a demonstration of God's capacity to be long-suffering. Go with me, if you would, over to 1 Timothy chapter number 1. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. Look over to 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse 15. Actually, let's go back to verse 12. 1 Timothy 1, 12, he says this. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord is exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Now think about this for a moment. Paul says something very interesting at verse 13. He says he was a blasphemer. He says he was a persecutor. And he says he was injurious. All three of those things are accurate descriptions of the spiritual condition of the nation of Israel after the crucifixion of Christ, and meaning in early Acts there. They'd become blasphemers by rejecting the ministry of the Holy Spirit through the 12 apostles there historically in early Acts. And they were persecutors. They were persecuting the followers of the Lord Jesus. And they were injurious. And Paul was the one, as Saul, was the one who was leading the rebellion. He says he obtained mercy because he did it ignorantly in unbelief. But didn't Israel also do it in ignorance and in unbelief? The answer is yes. That is what Peter says in early Acts. He says, I know that through ignorance you did, as did your rulers. They did it in ignorance and unbelief. Saul was the one who was leading the rebellion. And had the prophecy program continued there historically in early Acts, say Acts 2, had it continued, through Acts 7, 8, 9. Let's say the dispensation of grace had not come in. Then verse 14 would read very different. In fact, it wouldn't read at all. When verse 14 says, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus, what actually would have happened, it would have been the wrath of our Lord was exceeding abundant with justice and righteousness. The demand of justice and righteousness against Paul and against those who were the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that isn't what happened, is it? When the Lord Jesus Christ came back, he didn't come back according to how prophecy said he would come back. When the Lord Jesus Christ, after he had ascended to the Father's right hand in early Acts, there, Acts 1, after he had poured out the Holy Spirit, as recorded in Acts chapter number 2, after the nation of Israel committed the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter number 7, the next thing on the schedule would have been for Jesus Christ to stand up, as you see him in Acts 7, there as Stephen sees him standing, to stand up and begin to orchestrate the details identified in the book of Revelation that would see him established and crowned as King of Kings and Lord of Lords over this earth. That isn't what happened. When you go read through the book of Acts in chapter number 8, you see Paul, who stands right there with those who stoned Stephen. Chapter 9, the Lord comes and saves the man. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Yes. And Saul says, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord says, I am Jesus whom thou persecute. Of course, that changed that man's life forever, and it changed history forever. It absolutely changed the course of history. It absolutely changed the way heaven is dealing with earth now, and has been for almost 2,000 years. The message from heaven to earth today is grace. I'm delaying my wrath. So what we were saying before we got interrupted there was that it's very clear that God is saying to the world today is that he's withholding his wrath. He's delayed the wrath. He's postponed it now. And it is indeed the grace of God that bringeth salvation as appeared to all men. That's what's happening today. You should still be there over in 1 Timothy chapter number 1. He says this time at verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, whom I am chief. Now watch verse 16. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. You see the issue of his longsuffering. That verse says that in me first, in saving Saul of Tarsus, becomes Paul the Apostle. He started something brand new. Paul was the first of God to demonstrate this pattern, a pattern of long suffering. He took the man who was the chief of sinners, the leader of the rebellion, the chief enemy of those that were to be crushed, and made his footstool, and instead he saves and commits to his trust a message, a proclamation. He sends him out as an ambassador among the Gentiles, not to declare war like we read back there in Joel and Obadiah, but to declare grace and peace. That is the message from heaven to earth today. And in declaring that message, it is a showing forth of his long suffering, his ability to suffer for a long time with the rebellion of man, the hatred of man toward God, the pride, the self-righteousness of man toward God, all their lies, all their attempts to get rid of God. Each and every day that we are still here on planet Earth is just another day of God saying grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we of course are studying here in the book of Philemon, and it's totally appropriate for the Apostle Paul to begin the book of Philemon that way as well, like every one of his other epistles. It's not, if you're back at Philemon verse 3 there, this isn't just Paul saying to Philemon, hey, you know what, this is the standard way I introduce all my books, so I guess I'll just plug it in right here. It's like, you know, you can go and if you, sometimes on documents, you can have a preset template where you just plug stuff in. That's not Paul doing that here. He's not just a preset template where he's, oh, I can't figure out how to get the letter started. So no, he's reminding Philemon that this is how God is dealing with the world today. And therefore, by reminding Philemon about that, and by reminding me and you about that, it kind of resets our thinking, doesn't it? When a problem comes up in life, let's step back and remember, from heaven to earth, the message is, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. Whatever challenge it is that you might be facing today or will face in the future, no matter how it rattles your cage, how it makes you anxious or nervous or stresses you out, just step back for a few minutes and go back and remember that the message from heaven to earth today is this. Whatever the situation is that you're facing, God says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in the dispensation of grace where God is offering amnesty to any and all. And in so doing, he's holding back his wrath. He's long-suffering. Therefore, peace. Peace from heaven to earth right now. And if we think it through that way, that will equip us to make a decision to face that challenge, that difficulty, whatever it is that you have to face, to face it from the realization, from the memory that today, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, it is grace and peace. All right, let's just see if anyone has any questions. Sorry for the confusion on the Pal Talk. It just seems like lately that's been happening where we get kicked out. It kind of restarts or reboots or something, and then it kicks us out. So I don't know why that's happening. But whatever, we kind of made it through. If anybody has any questions, just type in your question or raise your hand there. Yeah, we do, I guess, with it being a free service, you just have to put up with what they offer, right? So, and, you know, for the most part, it really has been very, very good. It's just sometimes you get those little glitches there, so. All right, well, I don't see any hands up this morning, so let's just close in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for the time that we can look into your word this morning, and especially focusing on this verse here that is really the essence of what's going on in the world from your perspective today. Grace from you and peace from you and the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we face the details of life each and every day that we do face, God, might we just remember that, just put in the back of our mind, ready for access, ready to appeal to the fact that you say the declaration, the message, the proclamation from heaven to earth today is grace and peace from you and from our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we give praise and thanksgiving to you. Amen.